Reverend Dr. Lori Bolster is our most credentialed speaker, a lifelong learner who is endlessly incorporating more and more tools in her toolbox. She's a sign language interpreter and educator for sign language interpreters and people who assist with education around the hearing impaired. And she is an ordained interfaith minister, and she's a science of mind practitioner, and she's a hospital chaplain. She's just endlessly incorporating more and more amazing talents and abilities.
Dog and cat rescuer.
Oh, talking, absolutely, yes. So Lori's awesome, and I'm thrilled that she's here with us today.
Well, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, the topic today, we've got little angel cards, and the topic that I've got is understanding. And the term before that in the cards is truth, and the term after that in the cards is vision. And I thought, okay, well, we kind of have a notion of truth, and we have a notion of vision, although I like their explanation of vision. That it's looking at the world with soul sight, using your imagination, your inner sense, and peripheral prompting, so paying attention to what's going on around you, to see the bigger picture and shape the future you desire. So it really taps into the inner, to the soul, all the way out into what's going on in the external world that we live in and move around in. So I get a kick out of that. But when I look at the words they used for understanding, they say that understanding is a deeper comprehension of life in your interactions, rather than simply transferring your knowledge from one experience to another. And so we're to act with sincerity and empathy. So I have two thoughts. One is that all by itself, understanding doesn't, I don't know what that means. Following what they're saying, it sounds like it has something to do with compassion. And then I wonder, well, why didn't they just say that? And then I realize, oh, it's because they needed something that started with you. Why didn't they use unique? Well, maybe because some people might think that means special, as opposed to what we understand unique being as that, yes, as an individual, however, we're part of the whole. And then I stop worrying about what they say understanding is. So we move right on. And so right there, though, we're looking at, when we think about understanding and what that means and what's that got to do with our lives and why should we care about it in a spiritual setting? Why would it be an angel card? Understanding. And we think about, well, in the greater culture, what do we think when we think of understanding? What do we think folks in the greater culture think that means? That we understand something that... Oh, now I see how to put this together. Now I understand. I have a grasp of something. Or I now have some control over the facts of a situation. Or now I see cause and effect, perhaps. Now I see why that happened. Or now I've learned something more about myself. So now I'm combining some facts or things I've learned about myself, about my motivations, about, oh, I see why I keep doing that. One would hope that we can start surfacing things like that as we go through our lives and expand and on along a spiritually developmental path. And gradually we open up. But we eventually, if we're looking at it from a spiritual perspective, we realize we're also talking about levels of consciousness. We're talking about, like on the in this teaching symbol, all the way at the bottom is the physical, the external world we walk around in. So this is a table, this is a cup, that's a wall. These are people, and they're all different, but we're all kind of the same. And you know, things like that that are going on in the physical world. But then we realize, oh, there's more to it than that. There's connections, there's relationships, there's how we respond to each other, how we intuit each other, how we think, I think, you think, you think, I think about something, and we start expanding into greater possibilities of what is reality. And so we just move right up into knowing that it's all one, that it's all mind and idea and creation and imagination. And so that's what they were talking about, vision, using your imagination as far as you can go with it. Your inner sense and your peripheral, what you're picking up, all of it comes into vision. Well, it all comes into understanding as well. And so I've got a reading which I want to do. This is Sufi reading. It's out of an Andrew Harvey book, Perfume of the Desert, Inspirations from Sufi Wisdom. Little paragraph called The True Names. And remember, we're not talking now. We're not talking about just physical, peripheral, picking up promptings from the environment. Back way up, you're sitting on a mountaintop looking and thinking about what is understandings. Those who know say that the person who wants to know the divine essence through names, attributes, and acts is like the dreamer who in sleep sees images that are not real. Those who know the true names, attributes, and actions of God are those who have reached through the way of mystic vision and understanding of the essence, and who then descend to the level of names and attributes. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? They have understood that it is the absolute essence of God that is manifesting itself every moment under the appearance of a name and an attribute. Table, wall, person. They are wide awake and see the reality of things. He just summed up science of mind right there. Somebody named Lahiji, Lahiji. So, somebody who thinks they know something by what it's called, or its category, its label, what we think about it, is like somebody who's asleep and sees something, or daydreaming and sees something, and they think it's real. Now, I'm not saying that true reality, capital R reality, can't show up in dreams. But you notice how we're working on two ends of a spectrum at the same time all the time? Somebody can be seeing something in reality, like right here, and think that's real. Or they can see something that's not there and think that's real, and that can be called, you know, hallucinations. Or they can see something that's not real, the kinds of things that show up in Connie's prayers. And we can't see them, although we can see them, and that's real. So we're just going back and forth, up and down levels of consciousness. I want to show you a picture. I just love this picture. I'll just walk around and show you quickly. These are level of consciousness. Actually, they're talking about it from a psychological developmental perspective. But it starts with, there's the me. So it's just me. That's like all about me. And then it comes to ethnocentric, where I'm concerned, I'm attached to other people too. It's us. And then you go to world-centric, which is all of us, everything. And we could get on into the universe, but there's just really not a lot of point to that. So I'm just going to go around and show you this great picture.
I think the first three are enough to handle.
Yeah. But I just love it because of the way they've drawn this design. Now, I'm getting the biggest kick out of it, because usually when you're talking with people who are into science and empirical explanations of things, they don't put hearts on it. And I just get a big kick out of this particular representation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is out of Ken Wilber's book, The Integral Vision. And I just really enjoy that because it's like the foundation of it is something that's beyond just, okay, there's me and y'all and the greater world. Yeah, but it's surrounded by this other thing that we talk about love, but it can be just connection. It is a recognition. It is an understanding. And so as we talk about this, you know, we realize that so often when we're talking the physical, people are talking about things that, well, they're here or they're not here. We do affirmative prayer or we do intentions about things that aren't here or that we don't have or that we don't like. And so we work on those things. And most of the world, like 85% of the world, is focused right there. And that's what their religion is about as well. And religion doesn't necessarily move you along a spiritual path. Religion often will just, you know, sustain you and feed you and help you feel more secure and help you deal with the world, what's going on. But it doesn't necessarily move you along a spiritual path. It just helps you feel better and like you're secure, you're safe. It doesn't necessarily change your consciousness. It fortifies you and protects you. And much of the world believes that. There's a mythic God that will take care of me. Most of the world believes that. And it's inappropriate of us to say, well, that's silly. That's just a story. They're just making that up. It's a fantasy. The fact is, we're here because of hundreds of thousands and ultimately millions of years of basically very successful breeding and survival. Breeding and survival, breeding and survival. Survive long enough to breed. Got us here. Everything in our lineage, all the way back to the beginning of time, succeeded. And for those of us who have not had children, not going to have children, that's it. You got all these years to get us here, and that is the end of that. And we all go over that horizon and we all die. Well, now your perspective about how things go and your understanding can start to shift. So now what does understanding mean? This is a table, that's a chair, that's a wall, that's it, there's people. I can figure out how to do this. I learned how to read. I have greater understanding about how to do something with words on a page, and then I can write them and give them to you, and now you can read them, and you can actually learn something from that, maybe. And now both of our understandings have expanded, but how does that hold with pictures about world-centric and going that we're here because of all this millennia? Now that starts changing your comprehension of what means understanding. And so when they talk about vision, use your imagination, your inner sense, and peripheral promptings to see the bigger picture. Now we have a greater understanding, and we're more liable to see a bigger picture. And we realize that we're functioning within that part of the world population that realizes that, that understands that, and that we're actually part of this creative process. So for a long time, all we were into, all that humans were into, was survival, hunter-gatherer. And then about 10,000 years ago, got into getting closer to, not agriculture, but agriculture, and then about 4,500 years ago, settled into farming and really homesteading, kind of. And then eventually came the plague, which wiped out a third of Europe and changed everything. But then they go through a process winding up with the Renaissance, and they get into science and enlightenment. And we did that for several hundred years. But it's only been the last 30 or 40 years, starting kind of in the 60s, where people realize, wait a minute, there's really more to all of this. And there's a way different way of going about things since civil rights, where human beings, just because they exist, have a right to be treated differently. Whole groups of people have a right to be treated differently. And things started to shift. And this didn't just happen in this country. It happened all over the world. Not everywhere. But in much of the world, there are shifts that are happening in how we treat each other, what we expect from life and our existence, and that, oh, we can have something to do with how this goes. Oprah Winfrey, mainstream, well, I don't know if that's mainstream, but it's more in the mainstream than ever was before, people realizing what I think might have something to do with what happens to me and what happens in my life. The perception that I have of myself has something to do with what happens in my life. And then you get into the whole issue of, all right, if I can co-create my life along with this power, creative force of all, because I can think, therefore I have an imagination and I can participate in this creative process, we can get to a few places. Like, we can go to the place where if we have evidence that, yes, this is true. For example, I had an experience one time where I would leave work, drive down a street and think, if there's a parking space, and this is the cheapest form of this manipulative process, if there's a parking place in front of this place, I will stop and take care of my errand there right now. Drive down, look down, and I'm seeing this parking place, I know the parking place, all that stuff that we do to make sure that the parking place for me. Cheap form of manipulative power. I use my greater understanding for personal gain. Sure enough, there it is. All right, zip in there, take care of it. And this happens several times, like 4 or 5. I need to take care of an error right there. If it's right there, it's going to be right there. Now I can do all kinds of things with that kind of power. I could decide, okay, I better go home and kill myself before I hurt somebody with that kind of power. That kind of power should not exist in a human being with the kinds of things that humans can decide to do. Or I can just decide, I'm just really powerful. I'm going to take this power and use it everywhere. Or I could just decide, well, that's just coincidence. Or I could realize that, in fact, it might be that somebody just happens to leave from that place every day at the same time, and I happen to go by there 15 seconds later every time. So we back up and see everything. What is real? What's really going on here, and for what purpose? Babies think it's all about them. They have total power. And it's true. Everything is all about them. But when you get adults who think everything's all about them, these things that I imagined I wanted happened, therefore I have all the power. Or I really, really, really wanted that, and it happened, therefore I have some control in the universe. Those folks can be called things like schizophrenic, narcissistic. They're functioning like infants. That's not transcendent behavior. They're functioning like infants. That's regressive. Something's wrong here. That's a pathology. And so we have to really pay attention. And there's this quote, comes out of Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You've got to remember, we're talking about something that was written I don't even know how many thousands of years ago when this exact was written. Trust in the creative process, the creative force behind it all, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, so I'm aware that there's something way bigger than me. I'm going to lean on that. I'm going to step into the flow with that. I'm going to align with that, rather than just, I'm going to figure this out myself. That's different from, it's all about me. So where does this trust, this alignment, come from? It's not just what I think and I figure out. What's the difference between that and thinking, well, if I know what it is, then I'm it. I have the control. So where is it that we're having a developmental process from it's all about me, because it is, because I'm an infant, through a growing up, learning, oh, this is how things go, to learning that, oh, there is a power greater than myself. And because I can think, and because I have imagination, and because I have a way, whether I use it or not, I have a way of opening myself and getting into the breath of the universe, into the flow of the cosmos, into being and realize, understanding that I am one with all of this. I'm just of it. Now we're moving along to a different kind of understanding, capital U, understanding. And so how we interact with this amazing realization and understanding then has something to do with how real it is for us. Are we just fantasizing? If you were just fantasizing, then we're you. But if we're open to it and we realize it and we practice it and we respect it, we think, all right, if I want to really be here, then I need to be here and pay attention most of the time. I can't just pray once in a while and think that I'm over here, living over here, and open over here, and being over here. I can't do that. I can't pretend that, well, I just really don't get it with meditation, so I'm just going to sit here for like a minute and a half. Bing! Oh, it's not long. Yay. I need to do laundry. Or whatever. And think that we're being really spiritual beings and that we're moving along a spiritual path, you know, rising through levels of consciousness. We can't, I mean, get real. That's just silly. People that think, okay, if I just really see something really hard and I stick with it, I really, really want this, I can see it, I can feel it, I can touch it. Well, if you don't have the behind it where you truly are doing the work, the process, the exercise, the openness, that's spending time with this amazing creative force and thriving and aligning with it and breathing with it, you're just fantasizing. You don't understand. You just are playing games and fantasizing with about something that's beyond, because you didn't spend time getting there. Because the centeredness, everything's all about me, that babies have, doesn't work for adults. It's all about me just because. It just doesn't work. Unless you're truly incapacitated. And then that's a whole different critter. People can take care of your physical body and take care of your physical needs, but what you're doing with your mind is not just, I'm going to have people do what I want because I need this or I want this right now, change the channel. If you're taking your mind into these spaces, then you can still go there. But what are you doing? And so, we have, as we're talking about understanding, we're looking at, what are you thinking? What do you want? What are you doing? Where are you going with it? What's up for you? Are you trying to transform something? If you are truly transforming yourself, you're working with a bigger picture. There's an issue of, are you ready? Are you? Are you ready really to do what it takes? There's a story about the monk and the warrior, where the warrior came to a monk in a monastery and said, "Would you, you know, please, can you teach me about heaven and hell? Maybe you've heard this story before." And the monk says, "You? I couldn't teach you anything. You are the most arrogant, self-centered, worthless son of a bitch. I don't, you know, why are you wasting my time?" And the monk whips out his, or the warrior whips out his sword and says, "Oh, just for that, I'm going to teach you about death." And the monk says, "Oh, that's hell." And the warrior was ready to learn. And he put his sword back. And it took his wheels off the ground. And the monk says, "That's heaven." But he was ready, and it took that amount of time, and he walked away. He got it, and he got it in seconds, but he was so ready. And he'll never be the same again. I've been watching this FDR show, or Roosevelt's. I actually am staying interested in watching the whole thing, which blows my mind. But they're talking about the quote about, you know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And the commentator says, that's just inspired nonsense. If you don't have food on the table, you got something to be afraid of. And yet, at the moment he said it, and the way he said it, and the time, and the nation was so ready that it was like it captured a willingness to suspend disbelief. The normal reaction was to say, well, that's nuts. But at that moment, at that time, because of the feeling, they suspended disbelief, and it made anything possible. The effect was like pulling Excalibur from the stone, and it was like the whole nation thought, this guy can do it. Can we get to there about whatever it is? Not, I'm going to turn, you know, water to wine. I'm going to raise people from the dead. Not things like that, but just, can we truly get that connection? Can we understand what's possible for us? Can we get to where it's like, oh, yes, this is possible. I can do this. I can gain understanding. I can spend the time and the energy to doing that. It's so important to me that I can devote a lot of my 24 hours a day paying attention and being there. I can pay attention. I can do what's necessary. Are we able to understand that? And so you have to look at your motivations. Are you willing to increase your attention, your compassion, your connection, because you can't be there and, you know, be an SOB. And your integrity and your ethical fitness, that you stand up for what you want to stand up for? Are you ready to release fear and self-consciousness? And, ooh, it's all about me. Even if it's like, I can't do that because I'm... No, that's just self-conscious. Quit that. Quit watching yourself. Stick it out there and go for it. Are you willing to let go of being responsible for everything and being in control of everything? Are you willing to let go of the things that distract you? Are you willing? Are you able? Are you ready? Because you can. And so this thing about understanding, act with sincerity and empathy, it kind of assumes that we can. Not everybody can. And so can we, can any of us, can you do that? Can you do that? How much optimism and belief and commitment is really behind what you're doing? The fact that we can make a difference for ourselves and whatever else. And so, then I ask, what are you willing to do? What can you do? Now, who knows the future? You could leave here and get hit by a truck. But what are you thinking that, yeah, today I can do? What have you got the courage to do? Because compassion even calls for courage, not just be nice. You can be nice, and that's not necessarily truthful. But what do you have the courage and the compassion about yourself and anyone in the world to do? What would you do today if you were brave? And with that, I'll turn the rest of this wonderful time over to my fabulous collaborators.
If I were brave, I'd walk races in where true believers to be. what we secretly dream. What would we ask if we knew we could have anything? Like the mighty oak sweeps in the heart of the sea, are there miracles in you and me?
Oh, yeah.
If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge, where true believers stand astray, and never lose faith, even when losing all my way. Step would I take today, if I were brave.
Thank you. I think that brings us to the break.
Awesome. Thank you, Laurie.